These are the moments we all live for. How many times have we seen these three work together? Elma Smit out of Africa, straight into the biltong shops of Southwest London. Emily Scarrett, Scazzy Das. Surely you can never run a switch too many times. And Mo Hunt, chippy, snipey, sporty, karaoke. Sounds like the new Spice Girls. Here they come, the good, the Scaz, the rugby.
Hello and welcome to The Good, The Scars and The Rugby, brought to you by Vodafone. We are back in our familiar studio space after a beautiful, sunny, long Easter weekend. Scars is allowed back in the space where we are recording since we're not in the Vale. It's good to see her in real life. And since we had that momentous occasion at the start of the Women's Six Nations with England and Scotland in action in Newcastle, we just wanted to stay within the good vibes. We loved seeing it, basically the North fully come out for that spectacle. And we want to talk about Scotland some more. So we figured she's not playing at the moment. She's got about five other jobs, but she seems to be free enough to stop by our little humble abode. And she's one of the unwavering strength in that Scotland lineup whenever she's there. Sarah Bonner is in the house, former GB rower, former teacher, also an RAF, I want to get this right, flying officer in the RAF police, but you're on the elite athlete scheme, so that just means you, for now, you're not flying anywhere, right?
No, she says.
While doing all of that, she's also managed to, in between the four different careers I've just mentioned, earn 34 caps for her country. And she has a podcast that has been going longer than this one. And if you watched any of the Women's Six Nations so far, you would have also seen her on your TV. She was with Mo and then she was with Gwen Crabb. Yep, just, you know, doing all of the punditry duties. And we had a phenomenal story from Nick Heath when he was on the show about you playing through your injury that you are now rehabbing. So we're going to have to start on a relatively painful note. But if you are like Scaz, then you like talking about your injury because she whips out the proof of her ankle injury for people to see.
Do you? Well, I wouldn't say I like talking about it, but it just adds a bit.
This is not the Scars that I know. She's a humble human.
I don't go around being like, "Hey guys, I broke my ankle."
Are you sure?
But if people ask, it's just a much easier way of less words with a picture.
Do you know what? I agree. That's the same with Collie B. You just show the picture.
Collie B.
Yeah. So all injuries have a little nickname. So during your like physio and you just like, oh, Collie B's feeling okay today, or
Collie B. She means her collarbone.
Collarbone, yeah.
Collie B. So Collie B, tell me about how Collie B, the incident occurred, because the concept of you still playing through that. Have you ever done the collarbone before? Like, did you have a reference point?
No reference. So
if you had to rank it on a scale of painfulness, how did you not realize that it had gone when you did it?
It was pure denial. I was maybe like out 6 minutes into the game. And there was three things that I thought. So I went down and I felt like a crack. And I was like, no, this isn't good. But at this point, denial. I'm like, it's 6 minutes. I've got Six Nations around the corner. I'm fine. The physio did her assessments. As soon as she did the strength session, when you have to resist, I was like, nah, patched her off. And I was like, I'm fine. And just ran away from her.
Was this because you were playing in the big game and it's in that cauldron and the atmosphere and everything? It was the big game, right?
Yeah, big game, yeah. Do you know when you're on the pitch, you don't actually really take... You obviously are aware of the atmosphere and the situation, but you just want to play. And I think my initial thought was, shit, Six Nations is around the corner, I'm fine. And then to set the scene, Brent, our beloved Safa, always gives like a motivational chat in the week. And his chat on Thursday, he was going on, and then he looks at me and he goes, "And Bonner, if your shoulder's hanging off, you keep going. You hit the next breakdown. Stop. You make the next tackle. You just keep going. You just give everything." So I went down and I was like, that bitch literally predicted the future. Like, how? How has he done that? And I was like, well, I've got to go on. Like, I've got to make that next tackle. And I'd also fueled like I was running a marathon. So I was like 6 minutes in, going to cut it. Yeah, literally. And I was like, no, I'm going to be fine. If I can make it through this game, like, I'll be good for Six Nations. So I was in total denial, even though when I'd patched Corin off, ran to the girls and they gave the line out call. And I was like, that's me lifting. And I thought, right, if I can't lift, I don't deserve to be on this pitch. And I went to Rob. I was like, mate, does it look all right? And she was like, just put your shirt back up. After the game, she was like, your bone was literally like popping out your skin.
But she still let you try and lift someone.
Yeah, because I was like, yeah, it's fine. I can move it. Lifted so badly. We were trying to exit. We exited. And then I can't remember who came like on the counter back, but she cut to the other side of me, but still proceeded to like pan me off on this side. And I was like, oh, not too good. Went for a jackal because I thought, you know what, could maybe jackal.
Right. So second rows, generally, it's not something they're known for, jackaling. Generally longer legged, yeah. Harder,
yeah.
Bigger space, easier to bosh through. Bonner loves it. She loves a jackal. And to be fair to you, you're incredibly successful at it, actually.
Wales, four of them.
There she goes. Come on.
I don't normally like chat about a game, but
talk it up a bit more. Come on.
In particular, woke up, I was like next level, like hyped, next level. And
the fist pumps post turnover are quite something.
Because so right, when the ref goes the whistle, much. I don't kick. Well, I don't
that's
kick for
scoring.
Points.
Yeah.
Just to clarify, I do kick, just not through the
triple
post.
Threat. A jackal, like a turnover, it's like scoring.
Yeah, fair.
That's your try.
Yeah, it's my try.
Anyway, so you try and jackal.
Oh, yeah, not so good. And then I remember being down again and Abby was on my outside and she was like, Bonds, get up, there's an overlap, get in the line. So I'm like, okay, I've got to get up. Abby needs me. And then I ran up the line and almost get an intercept, almost. If I'd got this intercept, I think I could have kicked a 50-22 and I would have had marriage proposals flooding in. Like, I swear to God. But instead I went for the intercept and like that was the turning point for Colley B. I couldn't. I got snipered literally to the floor and then it was game over.
Oh, Colley B.
I know.
What a party pooper.
I know.
I love the fact that this intercept that never quite came off, it wasn't I was going to run the length or I was going to pass it to Abby, he was outside and she was going to score. It's I'm going to kick a 50-22
yeah.
And I'm going to be a hero.
Yeah. Of all the options.
Of all the options.
We were camped in our
okay, fine.
In our corner for a while. So actually a 50-22 would have been quite good. Would have relieved pressure. To be fair, Abby would have also probably ran a 100-meter try. But, you know, it's a big game. Big occasion.
You are a natter. You realise that objectively. Like, as I'm sitting here, I'm listening to you talk and I go, there is something wrong with someone, you know it's cracked. Normally, you wouldn't react like that. Is that just adrenaline?
Oh, yeah, adrenaline. I think adrenaline does like amazing things. Because as soon as I was off, gas and air couldn't come quick enough.
Yeah. So you went from hero to
like screaming.
Give me all of the everything.
They tried taking the shirt off and I was like, just cut it. And they're like, no, we want to save the shirt because had our names on. And I was like, cut it now. And it was, yeah, not so good after that. But
that is some powerful stuff right there.
Yeah, adrenaline's a good drug.
Wow, the team must really miss you now.
It's a team sport, isn't it, for a reason. You've got folk that do a job and fill in. But yeah, I'm excited to be back.
Now, how far off are you in your rehab process? What are we talking here?
So I've got another scan next week. If that goes well and the bones knit together, then I can hopefully start a return to contact. But it's very much just dependent on how the bones heal in.
How long is a Colley B usually?
I actually wouldn't know.
8 weeks.
That's a Scottish 8 weeks, I think.
Yeah. That's optimistic.
it's possible.
Because when the Scotland team came out and the Six Nations list, you were obviously named in it, weren't you? And everyone was like, she's just broken her collarbone.
Yeah, there's a chance I can make the last game.
Yeah, because I know
if my
I saw
scan
your name.
Was good, last game's on the cards. No,
I'm here for it, believe.
Just a bit of padding. It's plated, it's...
But you know, the whole world now knows that that's the shoulder they should go for.
Come at me.
Come at me. Bring it.
Who is that last game?
Wait, who is...
Ireland. Is it?
Yeah.
Look at your face. You're like, ah, yeah. Yes.
This girl is never short of a like Pump Up, Whoop and Holler, Spartan. Do you remember
that video? Okay, so we in Scotland were playing Lightning on a friendly. What were we doing?
No, so it was pre-season. For Loughborough Lightning, it was pre-season. And for the Scottish girls, they were in their pre-World Cup qualifier camp.
Yeah.
And obviously Loughborough have got a load of a Scottish contingent. Yeah. So we kind of... They needed to play. We needed to get going in pre-season. So it was like a perfect opportunity to go on a little trip. We got away. They got some game time. Go on, you tell it.
And we have like themes. Now the coach has like a Spartan theme, gladiator. And everyone's a bit like, oh, Brian, what are you up to? And I love it. I'm like, yes. Battle fucking
beating
ready,
her
let's
chest.
Go. Yeah, yep. Like, yeah. So we're watching. But ahead of like a... pre-season friendly, like
against the club side, right?
Flying all past this window, and all the Scotland girls are like this. But I'm like at the edge of my seat, like, come on.
So it's like we're walking down to this pitch, like all in our kit, because it's not serious. This is like pre-season friendly. We're playing like 4 20 minutes.
A game's a game, Scaz.
Yeah, really fine. So we walk past this window where they're having this meeting, and it's one of those where everyone was like, okay, they're having a meeting, like, don't look. And out of the corner of our eye, it's just like this Spartan scene on this giant TV, and we're all like, what the fuck is going on? And then when we spoke to the girls right afterwards, they were all like just dying, wanted to go under a rock. Like Nelly was just hanging her head, Scotty the same. And then they were all just like, apart from Bonner loved it.
She was in.
Literally.
Love it. Love a battle scene.
It was the funniest thing because we were all just like playing our music, our little boom box, trotting down like pre-season.
Meanwhile, probably looking to discuss sea. Like, they're not taking this seriously. Yeah.
This is them sending us a message. They don't respect us.
Literally, that's probably what went through my head.
Pre-season friendly.
Yeah, joke.
Nothing friendly about it.
Yeah, literally.
Come on.
It was so funny.
So now that you've been on the punditry circuit during this TikTok Women's Six Nations, how's that gone for you?
So fun. Like, it's brief. It's super brief, but how fun. Yeah.
I remember the first one, you were rocking like a navy coat and you had your hair down. I was
all
like,
about the outfit.
Girl's been living.
I had a glow up me. Oh,
yeah.
Sorry.
I love it. I love seeing everyone trot out their punditry looks and then like, yep. We're just talking here. We know exactly what's going on. And then in between all of this, you're just rehabbing with an eye on the prize. You need to get back in time.
Yes. Yeah. Rehabbing with Harlequins, physio Corin. They're literally like therapists, aren't they, physios? They're there through the tears, the laughs.
They're often better than a psychologist, without being rude to psychologists.
Yeah.
But they're there in those casual moments. So they're actually, if they're good people, like I'm sure she is, they're the people that you actually open up to a bit more. Because it's not like you're walking into a psychologist's room and you're like, oh my God, I've got
now
to talk about my feelings.
Talk.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you're busy with something and it's in that process of busyness that sometimes stuff just comes loose.
Yeah. Even like yesterday I go in and I thought I was being normal and she already was like, what's wrong? Or like, doesn't even
then did
have
you burst into tears?
To be fair, yesterday I was actually okay. But do you know, sometimes you just need a plan and like she knows straight away without even asking that, okay, we need more of a plan for this week or something. Yeah. They're just... Yeah,
a bit
off.
Of structure that gives you things that you can tick off and say, I've achieved this and I'm moving.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tell me about that occasion from your perspective, because we've had the Sarah Hunter show where we had fully English perspective on that game. Some people looked at it and said, oh, it's a bit of a big to-do and it is still a Women's Six Nations match. It's a competitive one. It's one where two teams have prepared to really bring it. But there was this beautiful moment when she went off where everyone just stopped. Like the game stopped. The Scottish girls applauded her as she left the pitch as much as anyone else did. And it did feel a little bigger than the moment.
Yeah, like it was. And I think since I've played with her at Lightning as well, and I think just whatever nation you play for, she just carries so much respect. Like, she's such a respected player and she's done so much for the sport as well. And I think it wasn't a matter of, oh, it's England v Scotland. It was actually we're celebrating an incredible player's career and like hats off. It was a really special moment to be a part of.
And I love that it was up there in Newcastle. Just,
yeah.
I mean, It must have been easier for your fans as well.
Yeah, I think it was actually it was easier for theirs than it was for us.
Yeah. were there fans in the north?
Unless they were from the Toon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's Newcastle, that is, Elma.
I've been to Newcastle, mainly to cover cricket, but yes, I've been there. Tell me about Scotland's performance in that game and what you made of it, pundit person from the sidelines.
So, do you know what? I thought we were incredibly brave. Like, we had a lot of, like, penalty opportunities we could have kicked, but instead the girls went for the corner, wanted to drive it, wanted to, like, set a platform with our line outs in. Like, defensively, I thought first 20 was class, last 10 was class. Like, we got off the line and we made it hard for England at times. And from an attack point of view, we wanted to play a bit more than we have been recently. And that was really exciting to see. Like, we've got a lot of youngsters coming through and players given the opportunity to play, injuries and things. So actually, like, the scoreline isn't the greatest, but I think there's positives to take from that for sure.
From a Scottish perspective, like, when you see the fixture list and you see England first, do you see that as, like, a good thing, or would you rather almost, like, get going with other games first and then have that one? Do you know what I mean? Because it's obviously, like, a tough game to start with in any campaign.
Yeah.
But, like, is that one where you're like, right, no, we can just go and attack this, see what happens, and then build from there?
Pretty much, yeah. Because it's been the same for the past, what, two Six Nations now. Like, don't get me wrong, it would be cool to have, like, a target game up first. But equally, as you say, it's, right, we're going up against the best. What an opportunity. Let's go. You just see it a wee bit differently.
Mm-hmm. And this England team also, obviously, I mean, comes minus Scaz, but also minus a few other names.
Yeah. Here at club, when they're like, oh, injury crisis in England. I'm like, you wanna talk about that to me, do you? Your player pool is insane. Bryony Cleland, and I'm like, babes, you have not got an injury crisis.
Reality check o'clock.
Yeah, but I appreciate that there is a lot of injuries. I think a lot of injuries through all the unions. It must be like post-World Cup.
There is.
Yeah.
Yeah, and a long season, like 10 games on the bounce, then into Six Nations. I think it's just a bit of a...
It is different to previous years. It's that timing, I think.
I don't know what it is, and you'll never be able to properly quantify, I don't think. But when we were doing, who did we just play? Italy. We listed 19 English players. Like, that's insane. 14 of those were at the World Cup, and that didn't include, obviously, like a Mo, Amber, etc. So, like, we're talking top quality players. You guys are obviously similar in terms of, I think the biggest thing at the moment is the quality of player that's injured.
Yeah.
So, like, Bonner. I nearly went with that and I just couldn't then.
Myself.
Bonner, Emma Wassell, like, basically two Stein second rows for Scotland. Like, big, big people, as well as obviously some other people as well.
Is Jade coming back?
Jade, huge.
Is she back this week?
Cannot confirm, cannot deny.
Oh.
Right, this is what you get with the Scots.
Come on.
We've got loads at Loughborough and you'll just have a casual conversation with them about stuff and then they all of a sudden clam up and you're like, oh, what did I say? And it's because they don't want to divulge something. I'm like, guys, come on. Seriously.
We're a tight-knit family, okay? We're not going to do anything that might jeopardise what's coming up. But, yeah, unsure. Cannot confirm, cannot deny. I don't know what I can and can't say.
Is this just you not knowing? Or is you not saying?
I think
that
answer tells us what might be happening at the weekend, if we're honest.
Okay, before we get into Wales, Scotland, because there's so much there to talk about, Honda has asked us to give a one-word review of the weekend's action. We did the Welsh perspective last week, but let's go for an English and Scottish perspective. If you had to give the Honda one-word review on that occasion, have you written it down?
Yeah.
Okay, and Sarah, please reveal.
Oh, me first.
Go on.
Heartbreaking.
Oh.
Yeah. It was a match to be won, and we didn't.
You didn't write Sparta, so.
Yeah. Sadly not.
Sadly not this time. Next time.
Next time.
Yeah.
It was a good game, though.
Wales-Scotland, always a good spectacle.
Sorry, yes, my one-way review. Width.
Shululu. With
right,
explain. It's not one of my favorite English words. I have to say.
No.
It is like
width of what, Scaz?
Well, Sarah.
What did you get up to
with that England's play? So.
This is not childish.
I went for Wick because, fun fact, we obviously got a load of heat during the World Cup. During the World Cup. For...
Why are you dragging her on her own show?
Yeah, I know. It's unbelievable. We got a lot...
You invited me. Sorry. Sorry, please go. Please proceed.
We've obviously got a lot of heat in the past, especially during World Cup, for driving line-out tries, being a bit dull, lots through the forwards.
Plan A, plan A, plan A.
Exactly. However, 9 of the 12 tries at the weekend, or the in the Italy game, were scored by the back three. Abby Dow 4, Jess Breach 2. Jess Breach 3, Claude 2, whatever I said, yeah.
Those things.
So actually, the ambition, stretching it a bit more, I think it's a good thing to acknowledge. But also probably present in some of the other games as well. Vernier, French girl, was very good.
Yeah.
That lot liked to move the ball a little bit. So unconventional, but I think justified.
Speaking of unconventional, if you haven't seen it yet, Honda invited us to a brilliant day out on the track with the Honda HRVs. There were 2 of them. And we competed against the boys from the good, the bad, and the rugby. Turns out, Skaz and Mo won. I've given it away. I know, but you need to go watch it because it is incredibly entertaining, even if only for Mo dragging James Haskell just a little bit. Let's talk Scotland-Wales. Really in it, literally until the 70th minute. I feel like that score, 22-34, not fair reflection. You guys, is it fair to say... roughly about a year behind, or would you not say that that's accurate yet?
I don't think so. Like, I genuinely think we could have won that game. And if you think about our last meet with them, could have won that as well. We're just, it's like the top 2% of seeing out a win. And I don't think that that is a full year behind them at all. I just think it's really small fixes.
Yeah.
Do you think, this is a bit out there, but obviously Wales have a huge Gloucester contingent, they've got a decent Bristol contingent, 2 teams that are going really well, and therefore those players are actually quite used to being on that side of things, maybe turning the tight ones into victories, etc.
Yeah.
A lot of your girls play for us, we're not going great.
You said it.
No, I know, I'm joking, but do you know what I mean?
There's
potentially something in like the psyche of the individuals that then make up a team, potentially, I don't know.
Mm. Oh, 100%. Yeah, I think we downplay a lot of like what your head can do, and your brain is such a huge part of it that I don't think we incorporate enough into our training, that sort of like mental aspect of it. And I do, there's got to be something in it. Yeah. Like, if you've gone from a World Cup into a club season and you've not won much, that's like a practice in itself, isn't it? Yeah. Of seeing it out. And yeah, I think it's a good point.
The scores, just to support what you were just saying, 24-19 in 22, so 5-point margin in 22. 21, there was a 7-point margin for Scotland. And in 2019, you guys lost by 2. 2018, you lost by 1. 2017, you won by 1. And you've said before that 2017 victory, 15-14 over Wales, was the moment that everything changed. Why do you say that?
So that was, Shade Munro era. The first Scotland coach I had that capped me, put a lot of like time and effort into the girls, just basically drilling basics and foundations. And I think at that point, that was the moment we realised, yeah, we can win a game. We're mixing with other unions at the top of the game, like we started to get like sow seeds of belief that I think then set us up for qualifying for the World Cup last year.
Is there one thing that you can identify that you guys got out of going to New Zealand and being there? Is there a central lesson almost that you can kind of say that's the thing that crystallized out of that experience for you?
I think so. Like, on reflection, it was a really tough tournament to be at.
Mm.
But like Australia, Wales games, we proved that we can be there and we can compete. anyone that watched those games, regardless of nationality, thought you put on such a good display of rugby, really exciting games, and we proved that Scotland can play and compete on the world stage.
I'm really excited to see the next couple of games. What's your order? You've got France next.
Italy, Ireland.
Okay, Italy, Ireland especially. I think you'll definitely get one victory. I think the Ireland game at the end, certainly how both sides are trending at the moment, I think that will be a really good game. But Italy as well, I think they struggled against England more so than I thought they were going to.
And
I think there's two really, really big opportunities. And not that France isn't an opportunity, but definitely looking towards that back end of the competition.
Yeah. Two home games as well.
Exactly.
And Wales in hot form, two consecutive wins. First time that's happened for them since 2015. What do you make of that, Skaz? Did you listen to my little hangout in the Vale?
Obviously.
Oh, did you snoop it?
What does that mean?
Did you like listen in?
Jargon again?
Yeah, sorry. It's when you do a close listening.
I thought that was a close look. Snoop? Oh, okay. Have a snoop?
Yeah. Yeah, you could do that as well. Yeah. What did you think?
Sorry. No, I enjoyed it. I didn't watch it. I need to watch it to have a little proper snoop. I thought the girls spoke really well. I think Johan spoke really well as well, just in terms of, you know, obviously how much their professional contracts have given them, just from obviously a lifestyle point of view more so than anything else, probably. And then obviously that in turn naturally often translates onto the field. And I think we're seeing that. When we've spoken about Wales previously, just I think that extra year does give them a head start on some of the other nations. And it's hard to know properly, but I think certainly from my own experience, when you first become professional, you are literally just making it up as you go along to start with, and then you settle. And I think it's that period when you've settled, they seem to have a really clear structure, a clear week, and that just consistent time together, which I think is really coming to the fore now. But I enjoyed the pod. I enjoyed the bit about Fionn and her national anthem, because when I was watching the game, I was like, who is that? I can hear it. And now I understand. Fair play. Felt it. Get it.
Absolutely.
At the Arms Park at the weekend, you might not hear her because sold out crowd.
So many people in Cardiff. Did you hear the Fionn Lewis anthem on the TV coverage? They held the effects mic really close to her.
It's like a solo. It's like a solo performance.
Yeah, it's no, it's good. Big. It's like she went in 120%.
Go
like
on, girl.
The Sparta, exactly. Love
the Sparta
that.
Version of the anthem.
Nice. I appreciate that.
Deep, intense performance. What is your anthem performance intensity like?
Oh, I'm a belter. Although I am quite an emotional girl. So.
Yeah, you are.
Easy.
Do the feelings start rolling down your cheeks?
Waz has to give me a little.
Because you go
squeeze.
In shirt number order, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're always next. Well, if selection's similar, which in all fitness, you're next to the same people.
Yeah.
Me and Waz. So does she hold you tight, basically?
Real tight. Yeah. Because I'll start going.
Really?
Yeah, it's such an emotional thing. I love it. But yeah, I have to keep a lid on it or else I'd just blub, yeah.
You guys don't get the soul pipe a bit, do you, like the men do?
No.
I love that.
That is spine tingling.
Unreal. Oh,
corner of BTM.
Yeah. I think they should do that. Or they should drop the second half out and just go a cappella.
Yeah.
That's also cool.
That's also brilliant.
Very cool.
Yeah. Spine tingling.
Mm. Spine tingling.
It is.
Who is the Fionn Lewis in the Scotland lineup?
Who would belt it? Do you know what? Rach belts
it. Yeah, she does.
Oh, yeah, she does, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think straight away I'd go for Rach. Rona. Sorry, I laugh because she sings so deep. But Rona belts it.
Is she?
Yeah.
But really deep.
But deep. So I think, like, those around her, like, struggle to, like pitch it because she's so deep and they're kind of, like, trying to match it.
How does it go?
I can, but probably Rona's another one.
Pitching it is a thing. We often, I don't know if we do it as much anymore, but certainly we used to, just before we'd sing, it would come down the line and everyone would go, start low, start low, start, and pass it down, start low. Because if you start God Save the King now, high, the only way is up.
Yeah.
So you have to start low and slowly get up. Yeah.
That's a tactic, it's right there.
It is an anthem tactic. For people who've got poor vocal ranges and abilities, you need tactics. Trust me.
You're going to sing this on TV. People are going to hear it at home. Let's start low. Yeah. Any anthem tactics on...
No, just...
Flower of Scotland? No, it's an easy sing.
Sing it, be proud.
Go hard and hold on, isn't it?
Yeah.
I feel like it's honestly one of the most singable ones. I feel like you can really get into it.
It's the best,
easily.
100%.
What, 100%?
You were going to not? You're like, yeah!
I do love that anthem. Yeah. I do love that.
Do you know that at my school, we did sing songs during rugby season, and we had a version.
Sing songs?
So that's what we called it, but I wasn't in an Afrikaans school, so all of this is going to sound wrong.
I don't know if this is the same thing, but this comes up on my TikTok algorithm of like SAFA schools with boys and saxophones chanting and just belting out bangers. It's class.
Yeah. Imagine 1,200 kids standing like a bank like this. And we had a version of sing songs. We had a song that we sang that was your anthem, but with different lyrics. So we used to sing it while we were supporting our team.
That's
Flower
really
of Scotland's
cool.
tune, but with different lyrics.
Huh. We had assembly songs like Fire in Your Lamp and stuff like that. What's it you know what I'm on about?
What does Fire in Your Lamp sound like?
I don't think we want to know.
like assembly songs. You know, like absolute bangers.
Tea like, everywhere.
What's the ones called? You must know. You definitely you would have sang them.
I've never sung about Fire in My Lamp.
Gonna get them. Honestly, you would have absolutely had like assembly bangers. Like,
yeah, we did.
Godly ones.
Yeah. Wow. All things bright and beautiful.
Yeah.
So let's talk about, speaking of anthems, your first cap off the bench against Spain in Rugby World Cup qualifiers in November 2016. 7 years ago.
Mm.
Does it feel like 7 years?
Yes and no.
Why?
The body, yes.
But also, like, it doesn't feel that long ago. Me and Rach got the same, we ran on at the same time together.
Oh,
yeah, we've literally been for a journey together. So me and Rach have actually got a really funny story about this. We were new to rugby, pretty new to rugby. We were both kind of transferred from other sports. And in the run up to this game.
I know this story. She told us this. I was like, what? Yeah, go on, carry on.
All through our training, we wanted to be just like quick. So like the theme for this was like speed, intensity. And I remember Shade saying, soon as Nine's hands are on the ball, go, just snipe him. So I was like, okay, Nine's hands are on the ball. And I remember saying to Rach, so I thought the Nine had to lift the ball up. This was like how like greenhorn we were. She was like, yeah, I did too. We'll find out in the week. Never did. Ran on first instant of the game. Nine hands on ball, pelted her, absolute pelted her, blue penalty. And I looked at Rach and Rach was like, now we know. Minutes later, Rach's first instant. I can't remember what Rach did. She knock it on? She did something, but we looked at each other and we were like, oh, that was a good debut, that.
First and last.
Yeah, literally. Thankfully, it wasn't our last, but.
So funny.
And this was what, two years after you'd picked up a rugby ball?
Yeah, I came into sport pretty late. Yeah.
Wow, that's really impressive. But you obviously are just an absolute athlete because you don't excel and become a GB rower by, you know, being a slouch. How much did it help?
Oh, like I think just gives you a bit of an engine, doesn't it? You just keep going, like a bit of an endurance base. And like I think from a strength and conditioning point of view, like the foundations were already there. And I played netball growing up, so I had the sort of like hand-eye coordination, obviously needed to learn to pass backwards, but I very much have Nolly to thank for getting me into rugby, because I went to Hartby College as a rower and she at the time was coaching the girls and became a bit of a mentor of mine because I struggled with nerves competing at international, and obviously she was an international herself. And it wasn't until I went to uni later down the line, we bumped into each other when she was on England camp. And you know what Nolly's like, sometimes you just ask one question, like, how are you? And it looks into your soul and then suddenly you just start crying out of nowhere. And I was just like, I don't know if I'm enjoying rowing. I'm a bit miserable, like I'm doing well at it, but I just hate it. And she said, right, go on a break. In the meantime, play rugby. Keep your fitness up. I think you'll really enjoy it. And I did, and I never looked back.
So we would like to thank Danielle Waterman, Yeah. Absolute England superstar for, I'm sure Scotland is forever grateful.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's churned a few out of Hartbury as well, hasn't she?
Yeah. She's just going in there like a little influencer, going, nicking people off other sports. Oh, you sad? Come here. Let me show
rugby
you.
Will make you happy.
Here's an oval-shaped ball. Everything's going to be better. But what is it that was better about it?
Okay, first training session. I think it was at Loughborough Uni 7 session. I rocked up a pair of trainers and the girls were like, you'll probably need some boots. Like, what size shoe are you? And I was like, they're going to give me a pair of boots to wear. In rowing, that would never happen. Like, your competitor, your teammate is your rival at the end of the day. So, like, what's your kit is your kit. In rowing, in rugby, I was like, oh my gosh, they just let me a pair of boots to wear for the whole, like, for the session. And then, like, training was varied. It just had an automatic sense of belonging. And I think that was the difference for me. Like, I just felt like I belong somewhere. Mm. It was amazing.
Yeah. And some people are individual athletes and some people are not.
Yeah.
You're not.
No. I quickly realised, like, with rowing, I wanted to go to Olympics. It was a childhood dream. I was like, yes, this is what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
And I actually think, like, if you don't enjoy the process, is the end goal worth it?
And rowing has got to be one of the most brutal processes as well, surely.
Yeah. Like, it's long slogs, long hours, lonely hours. I'm very much like a team. Like, if I'm struggling, I know that my teammate needs me, and that is motivation to just go.
And on the topic of struggling, it's not only been easy going. Like, you've not had, like, a sunny, you know, golden time. 2022 Six Nations was a winless campaign for Scotland. So it's not like you stepped into rugby and, you know, the angels sang and it was just easy, plain sailing. You've had your fair share of trials and really tough times, so it still feels worth it.
Yeah, I like Scotland. is a roller coaster, but like, I wouldn't want to do it with anybody else. I honestly love those girls, like, they're my sisters, like, even the management, coaches. If you're having a absolute shitter off the pitch, my manager will phone me and check that I'm okay, or send me shortbread and Iron Brew. Like, Ellen Dixon is honestly like my rugby mum, but I don't know. I just think, like, I wouldn't change it for the world. I sort of learnt my lesson with rowing that if you're not enjoying the process, then the end goal's probably not worth it. But with rugby, we are getting there, like, slowly but surely, and I just wouldn't want to do it with anyone else.
I love that even your manager, she's Scottish, right?
Yeah.
Fulfills all Scottish stereotypes and buys shortbread and Iron Brew. Yeah.
How much shortbread did you get when the collie bee was sticking through the skin?
I love how uncomfortable that is for you to say.
You're like, collie bee.
That thing.
To be fair, not that much, but I stayed with Jade. Jade took me in. For a few weeks, her and her wife Helen put up with me, bless them, and there was a little bit of shortbread, and I say a little bit, a lot of shortbread there. But you always get a bit funny when you're injured because you're not doing too much. It's a real tricky place to be. You don't want to put on lots of, like, weight. So then equally, sometimes you need a bit of comfort.
You didn't see me smashing
food.
The grapes earlier. Looked at those cakes and they already made me put on a stone.
We literally walked past a cake stand on the way in here from the train and she went, oh, look at those. And I said, come on, we're running late.
It's just been Easter weekend as well.
Yeah.
All of the Easter eggs.
No, but that is a thing. It's like I think as females, we're probably worse for it generally, but because we're used to being so active and then actually, well, you're still active, but how you're being active is completely different. It's quite a more stressful time on the old calorie intake. Mm. It's quite sad, actually.
Has professionalism changed that? Do you feel like you now have a different level of almost responsibility or task-focused, like, kind of approach to this kind of thing? Does it impact different calls differently?
Good question. I think for me personally, no, just because, yes, we are. That's my tummy now. sorry.
It's like an orchestra over it.
I think, we have only just gone professional in terms of, like, monetary aspect, but actually, a lot of us have been professional with our training, our mannerisms, our off-field stuff for years now. So you just do it.
Professional with a small P.
Yeah. And I think the money's just helping from a recovery point of view, or, like, having to do less work elsewhere rather than kind of your habits? And
I think for me it's the input. So specifically to that topic of nutrition, and when you're injured, you don't want to eat, you feel like you can't eat as much, blah blah blah. But actually, when you're educated on that, like, your body's trying to heal, you can't do that on grapes alone. Do you know what I mean? It needs to be fueled. It needs to be, maybe it's some supplements that will help with that specific thing, or it's the winter, so actually vitamin D is really important for healing, all of those sorts of things. But actually, until perhaps you're in an environment where you do have a full-time nutritionist, some of those things have previously been missed.
Yeah, very good point.
And food is fuel. It is a general, like, it's not, you're not just eating for comfort, you're also eating because everything you put in is what eventually helps you recover.
I eat for comfort.
Yeah, both of them.
Both of them.
Definitely, there's a place for both.
But both of those, 100%. Your feelings are relevant as well. Yeah. What does Scottish rugby need to focus on next when it comes to the women? Like, what needs to be done? If you were the boss, I asked Berf this.
Yeah, you did. And Berf answered it so well. Yeah,
if you were the boss and we just gave you all of the power now, said, Berf, go.
Oh, make business cards.
Yeah, I would actually make business cards.
You would make what?
Business cards. No, I'm joking.
Tell us the business card story.
Sorry, I'm distracted from a serious question.
Serious question. It's giving me time to think. It's fine. But do you actually want to know the business card story?
We'll get to that next.
Okay, but the serious question first. I would get the girls in. Oh, it's so hard because you've got club. So, like, have a really good long pre-season with each other. Play, get warm-up games in. Just need game time. This is me thinking in the summer.
So how long do you need before the summer?
6 weeks.
Six proper weeks.
If you think, it's kind of what you would have done pre-World Cup, was it?
Yeah.
You were together for a long period then. So it's almost like the consistency of the squad for a chunk of time.
I'd say so.
Because then it's such a good head start into the season.
Yeah.
And then everyone disappears, but actually you've got everybody to a really good place, fitness-wise, off their holidays. Mm. You know, knitting together some of the Scottish things and principles of play or whatever, and then people can disappear and then be really individual with their development because they are full time, and obviously specifics to their club, etc. And then when you come back to Six Nations, it's not like, because sometimes coming to Six Nations feels like the beginning of a season.
Yeah.
And now the Six Nations is delayed. Obviously, that is even more delayed. Would you want to be up there more?
It's really hard because if you look at the English model, and a lot of you spend more time at clubs, and I think that works. And I think actually more consistent time at club, you can develop your own skills, play consistent rugby. You can actually compete for a spot on the team each week. And I think if we were to be in Scotland more, that would be quite tricky.
Would you want to play for a Scottish club if, say, like
an Edinburgh?
Edinburgh or Glasgow had really strong, prolific female side, they played against Welsh sides, they played against Irish sides.
I think if it was established, yeah, that would be
quite
fun.
Who would be your team? Edinburgh.
She says with a smile. Why Edinburgh? Glasgow wants to know. Glasgow's on the phone.
I think you know why I'm laughing, but no. I just love the city. Love the city. Home of rugby. That's all. Moving on.
Okay. Let's go back to the business card story. Why were you in fits of giggles about printing business cards for...
Business cards.
Scotland Women's Rugby.
Have you got it with you?
Somewhere on the set.
Does your business card say Sarah Bonner, Jackal, Machine?
Triple threat, actually.
Collie B.
Collie B Survivor. Called.
What have you done with it? Tell the story.
Where's your business card?
Tell the story.
To the right of you.
right on the logo, strong.
Very strong.
That's guerrilla marketing for you.
Can I please give you a high five? That is winning right
very
there.
Good.
Women Who Sport.
It's actually
podcast.
old logo. We got told it might be quite childish, so we changed it. But me and Rona have got like a sports podcast. When we started it a few years ago, we're like, we need to get some merch. what better than a business card? But actually, who uses business cards these days? I don't know. So we would just scatter them around Loughborough Uni. Library, the cafe, the gym.
And the cleaners kept on going, what is this? Yeah.
What is this? What is women who sport?
With a QR code on the front.
Yeah. So if I was in charge of Scottish Rugby, I'd start with business cards.
Business cards.
Plant them. All the schools, get girls involved in rugby. QR code for tickets to the games. Nice. Fill the stadiums. Yeah, that's what I'd do.
Okay. Sarah Bonner, queen for a day. Let's get her in there. Brilliant. Okay. RAF, we need to talk about this job description of yours. What does it mean when it says you're a flying officer in the RAF police? Because that sounds very intimidating. And how do you also then be a rugby player?
Okay, so flying officer is my rank. I don't actually fly planes. I would love to, but my brain doesn't work that way. It would be quite fun, but no. So I'm a flying officer in the Royal Air Force. And like my profession within that is the police. So myself and Amy Cocaine, both police officers. She played a big part in getting me into the Air Force. But once I'd done my training, I was posted to DSPG, so like a kind of small police school down in Portsmouth, until my elite athlete status application went through. And then I've been on that just over a year now, and it gets reviewed on an annual basis. And it's pretty much them saying, right, go and represent the Royal Air Force in your Harlequins jersey, your Scotland jersey, and be the best you can be, really.
What did you do before you got your elite athlete status and basically they took the leash off and you could just go play rugby? Before then, what were you doing on a daily basis?
So I was working in a security training unit. So I stayed at the policing school where I did my training and worked with a few of the guys on the base there. And it was pretty much myself getting to grips with a lot of the lingo within the policing world and the Royal Air Force, because there is a lot of abbreviations, kind of joining in on meetings, briefings, down reps. Really exciting, really enjoyed it. But you probably need to be in post for like at least 6 months before you can really like get stuck into it, because there's so much to learn and take on. Because most postings last 3 to 4 years and then you move on to something different, because there's so many different avenues you can go in with police, whether it's cybersecurity, whether it's your just general policing and safety of an airbase, whether it's protective security, counterterrorism. There's so many different avenues. It's a really exciting job to be in. So I'm certainly looking forward to getting stuck into it post playing career.
What did Amy look at Scuzz's face? All of that just went.
It's because Amy's told it me before and I didn't take it in.
But what is it that Amy said? This is what I want to know. So obviously you are influenceable, because
can I take a guess at what Amy said?
Because Danielle Waterman is the reason you now play rugby, because you were unhappy in your rowing. What did Amy Cocaine say about the RAF that got you hooked?
So I'd always had a military itch. My dad, my granddad, they're ex-serving.
And you are a geography teacher at this time in your life.
Yes.
So you have a profession.
Yes.
Yes.
So part of it was increasingly harder to do myself and the kids that I was teaching justice because of the time off I needed for rugby. Mm. I loved like the pastoral side of teaching and getting to know what made like kids tick and seeing them progress and improve. And I really loved that. But I had always had this military itch. I thought about joining after uni and then put it off and thought I'll go into teaching because I can do my training in around that. But at the time, I didn't really want to take 6 months to a year out of training to do my military training. And then it got to a point where Amy was like, mate, like if you pick up an injury, you might completely close that door off. And she raves about it. She raves about the forces. And
to be accepted for basic training, if you'd have had, say, a previous decent knee injury or anything, they're things that they just immediately decline you for, aren't they?
Oh, really?
Yeah. Medically, you could just get declined.
Collie B?
Possibly.
Wow.
But it's fine now you're in.
Now I'm in.
You're in, you're okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
I was going to say, how hard was training? Yeah. What were you going to say?
Yeah. So in comparison with rugby, like pre-season.
Because also, Bonner's got a hell of an engine on her. Like when you do, when we used to be at Loughborough and we'd do like watt bike sessions and stuff like that, we'd all be like absolutely gunning for it with 0 watts output, nothing useful. And Bonner's a proper machine. So you're a proper athlete. So that makes me think, actually, would you, in inverted commas, breeze that training, or was it really tough because of all the other stuff, sleep deprivation, lack of food? Because you do love a snack.
Love a snack. Do love a snack. And those ration packs are full of cows and full of snacks. Right. So I think it was like other things that made the training difficult. So during COVID, for the first 2-3 months, we weren't allowed off of base. Like they were the things that made it quite tricky. But actually, if you sign up to the military and you get deployed, then you're probably away for 3 months at a time. So probably quite a good first exposure to that sort of thing. The PT and the phys was hard, but I loved it. Like that was probably where I got a lot of the lads' respects. Like if I just beat them in a running session, then they'd be like, oh, maybe I'll listen to you. I mean, not now this is me like tarnishing everyone, but like it is, you do have to earn bod's respects and you're in teams with each other and stuff. And not all the guys were like this at all, but there was a few that were like, you're a female in the military. PT was like my way of being like, right, okay, I've got you. On a run or something, I'd like make it my mission to beat them, and I loved it. And like on exercise and stuff, I really enjoyed it. Like we did a week in the Highlands. Actually, got a funny story. So we're at the top of a Munro, and we're filling up our waters. And I was like, guys, you don't need to put a tab in this. This is fresh Scottish water. You know what I'm like? I'm like, this is the good stuff. The bee's knees. They're like, I'm still going to put a tablet in it. I was like, nah, I don't need to. That night we were sleeping somewhere like the same height as the top of Snowdon, so it was blowing, it was windy and it was freezing, and I was like, oh, I don't feel so good.
No. Oh,
the Billy Big Balls chat came back to bite me in the arse, quite literally. I was not okay. Luckily one of the lads was like, here's some of my isotonic drinks, I think you need it the next day, because I was dead. But no, like I love that whole like physical side and pushing yourself, because I think a lot of us only like train to, we don't tap into all we've got. So I do enjoy that side of it,
because we always have an end point, don't we?
Yeah,
it's like, I don't know, 10 reps of 30 seconds or something when we're working hard, or an 80 minute game or whatever. There's always an end point, whereas I feel like stuff like that, there is always an end point, but you never know when it is. Yeah. I'd imagine.
And also the difference is, not to put rugby down, but you're training to play a game that has a referee. When you're training military training
to survive,
there is literally no referee there. It's you've got deployment kind of in the back of your mind the whole time, which is a very different energy, surely.
Yeah, it's more, I need to pay attention, I need people to do this, because if I'm in that situation, I want to be able to get out of it, I guess. We're quite fortunate that the chances of like myself or Amy being in quite like a hostile environment are quite slim, just with the way that warfare is moving and the landscape's changing. But I guess there's skills that you still need.
Hectic.
Fun.
Well, see, that's why I'm not in the military. Yeah. That's why I'm sitting here holding a microphone. But that's what makes you such a very compelling character in the game, because you've got this intersect where you make a podcast, you're intensely aware of how you want the game to land, particularly in Scotland. You love playing and, you know, all of the communal things that comes with that. But there is this kind of that performance driven thing where you really want to put yourself in very uncomfortable places, and clearly absolutely live for it, which is brilliant to see. Now, talk to me about missing the Inland game and run one of the Six Nations, because you were on RAF duty, but not the kind we're talking about now. Rugby duty.
Yes, this is fun. So inter services is like the highlight of military calendars, really. So the Army, the Royal Air Force and the Navy all play each other in like a round robin. And unfortunately, I'm injured, so I missed this inter services. But I actually think we're going to take it
this
home.
Weekend, isn't it?
Yeah. So we beat the Navy a couple of weeks ago. We've then got the Army this weekend, and if I was a betting girl, I would say we're coming home with it.
That's where it is. And this is the shirt.
So that is the UCAF shirt, UK Armed Forces. So
yeah,
out of the three services, the best of the best get picked to then play for the UK Armed Forces, and then they go on tour and play. So when we were in New Zealand at the World Cup, the UK armed forces were also out there playing in like the military games. So I'm yet to get a UCAF cap, but hopefully.
Do they play much?
Yeah, like generally they probably get together like once a year at least, I'd say. But there's something special about it. Like no team's probably ever the same just because of the nature of our job and people on deployment. But then equally, it is such a big thing in the calendar that folk on deployment still sometimes get pulled from it to come back and play.
What?
And it's really special. It's kind of like a Babas feel. I've never played Babas, yeah. But from those that have, I get the impression that it's like a unique group of people that come together that embrace the values of rugby and the armed forces. They play hard, they work hard, and then they play hard.
And have a great party.
And have a great party.
You dress that up really well then. That sounded really like professional and like serious.
Yeah,
and,
that's the part of the RAF thing I get. Like that the RAF rugby, yes. So the Inter-Service Championship is going on this Saturday at King's Home. Women's kickoff is 11. The men's kickoff is 3:15. Go watch it. And shout out to Vodafone, our sponsor. And I don't know if Vodafone knows that the woman who sport is now also next to their logo. But the United Kingdom Armed Forces rugby shirt has a beautiful Vodafone logo on it as well. And I love that there is sponsorship for women's rugby, even when it's like this, inter-services, celebrating people from across services coming together. It's brilliant.
Yeah, no, it is. It's cool. And it'll be a good game. There's a lot of like high caliber players that are going to be playing this weekend. You've got.
Are you gonna out us? Are you?
Wait, what do you mean?
So you're not prepared. Not prepared to drop your Scottish lot in it, but sure, drop the English in
go
it.
Go for it.
Here she
Karis
goes.
Is playing from Wales.
Yeah,
might be an English player playing.
Karis Williams Morris.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amy Cocaine.
Cannot confirm or deny.
There we go.
She's back on it.
She's here. She knows things. She wants to talk about them. She wants to trot it out for us. Any other names you'd like to drop?
No, that's about it.
I'm not sure anymore. She's lost me.
Collie B's not playing.
Collie B won't be playing.
Sadly, no.
Okay. Thank heavens. I was really worried there for a moment. they were going to coax you off the...
Imagine.
Off the bench. The GB rowing thing was... really impressive for me to read because you were clearly identified at a very early stage. What is the tall and talented 2016 national campaign that Sport England ran?
Is that what it was called?
Tall and Talented. They had like Tall and Talented, they had Power to Podium. Sporting Giants, I think, was the one before that.
How tall would you have to be tall and talented?
Yeah, I missed this.
Would she qualify?
Yeah, Skaz 100% would. Tall and talented gal, this.
Maybe I only fulfilled the tall bit. That's where I got missed.
So you've won a few of these accolades in your time. Were you also not the RAF Sportswoman of the Year at the RAF?
Yeah, she was.
Sports Awards. Have you just been this athlete that just wins things inadvertently all the time, everywhere you
no,
go?
No, I don't. I genuinely don't win lots. Like, I don't win things. Like, I just go about my business, but... yeah, that was quite cool. A bit of a surprise.
Do you have the trophy on the mantle?
No, so I actually don't have it because the awards were during the World Cup, so someone picked that for me.
Don't have the physical trophy?
No.
Who picked it up for you? They've not delivered it?
The postal service in this country is very reliable. You should try it. It's very impressive.
Very, very reliable.
I've never had anything like it in my life. It's very impressive. It's almost as impressive as the BBC, but yes. The podcast, how did that start? Whose idea was it first?
So both Rona and I separately wanted to start a podcast. We'd been thinking about it. I can't remember how it came about. We must have been walking to the gym or together at some point. We're like, oh, pal, I've been thinking about doing like a podcast. And then Rona was like, no, me too. Then we're like, shall we do it together? Because like actually it'd be like more conversational. Together we probably know more people. So we're like, yeah, let's do it. We honestly have very limited experience in this area. So we just kind of muddle our way along.
Don't we all?
Yeah. And our first episode we recorded on beanbags. And we were buzzing with ourselves. I actually can't remember what the episode was. I think it was just me and her spraffing away. And in her room in Loughborough. And a couple hours later, I get a phone call from her. She was like, pal, I think we need to re-record. And I was like, why? We smashed it. literally one hit wonder. And she was like, all you can hear is fucking beans in the bean bags. It was like, so yeah, we've learned an awful lot along the way. I think Mo and Skaz were one of our first guests.
We were.
That podcast episode.
Have you listened to it?
That is some That is some vintage stuff right there.
Class. It's budget. Like, there is a lot of sound issues. But do you know what? If you just accept
it. We were all in the same place though, weren't we?
Yeah, we were all in the same place.
You were IRL, like, together in a room.
Yeah.
Was it made entirely of glass? Did you just ask someone what IRL is for?
Did you know?
No.
Yeah.
I just went along
some
with
people
it.
Just smile and push through it. I like
in
to understand.
Life. Yes.
Will like I remember this. That for next time? No, but I like to understand.
Okay. Outside of the technical stuff, one of my favorite bits is you actually asking Mo and Skaz when they first met.
It was do you want me to tell it? It was basically an under-19s camp. And I'd played, under 20s trials. I'd played under 19s the year before and kicked, and we were doing a trial. So everyone assumed that I was going to kick because we just scored a try, and Mo and I were on the same team. And she comes up to me and she was like, oh, like I can kick too if you want me to take one. Yeah, classic. If you want me to take it. And I was like, I was a bit like, all right, okay. Yeah, like, whatever.
Humble.
Yeah. But I was like, who's this bullshit little blonde thing? Besties since. It's weird how things work.
it's the great combination, and I think that's the thing that people really enjoy, is you and Rona are a combination, and there's something in that balance that really works.
Yeah.
For anyone who's not listened to it, what are the two roles? Like, what is it that the two of you bring to the conversation usually? How do you balance each other out?
Oh, I don't know. What would you
is
say?
There a, is there a... Is there
I'd say a, you two are more similar.
Yeah, we're very similar. Oh, okay, do you know when you have a friend that if you've got a bad idea and you want reassurance for this bad idea, you go to Rona. Them and they okay it, and then you're like, Rona thinks it's okay, it's fine. We're that person for each other.
You feel each other's crazy a little bit.
Yes.
Which, yeah. I mean...
Whereas Mo would come to me with a bad idea and I'd be like, Mo, that's a terrible idea.
Yeah. Whereas Rona and I, but then equally, she's just like my OG. Like she's like my loyal gal, you know? That's Rona.
Very funny. Bounce off each other.
Yeah, I'd say so. She's like the editor, like the nerdy one. And then I'll get like the questions ready and do the digging and the research. Yeah, it's how our little business relationship works.
Little background checks on people.
Yeah.
You know, decent amount of Instagram stalking.
Yeah.
One of the best bits of it is Skaz's Scottish accent.
Here, we've got this. I need to re-listen to this because it sounds like a really good episode. We must be doing something quite good.
You peaked.
It's been a few years. Have you sharpened up
no,
on
not
that
at
Scottish
all.
Accent?
Nothing.
What can you say that sounds very Scottish?
No.
That northern,
yeah, it sounded Geordie.
All the Scottish girls always just say no at me, so that's all I've ever picked up. Say no, Scotties is different to yours,
yeah, different parts.
No, I haven't. It's accents are not, they're not a thing of mine. Yes, yes, yes.
My accent is way too easy. It's teased itself up to be parodied. Like, you must get it from Brent. But now between Brent and Babalwa, you have different South African accents like floating in that space, yes, as well, which is very, very different.
Yeah, it is.
But it's also because Babalwa can speak, I don't know, like a handful of languages. She's with you guys now.
She is, BB.
Oh, love that.
Yeah, she, first session, non-contact.
Smashy.
Smashed.
Oh, yeah.
Everything. We were like, yeah.
Yeah.
In the warm-up, we do live full goo. It's not a bit of me, but I have to accept it. And I don't think anyone wanted to run. We do this, like, I call it the Hunger Games drill. It's basically 3v3 in a box and just murder ball. And I think it was Chance, poor Chancey, like, looked up and BB was tackling her and she got munched. We were like, yes, BB.
Oh. Now, for anyone who doesn't know, this is South African Babalwa Latsha. And I have so much respect for that girl because she is an absolute machine in how hard she works, but also the variety of things that she's constantly busy with. Emily Chancellor is who you were just referring to now.
Yes.
You guys have you've imported quite a variety.
Yeah, we have.
Of people into your space. And you're really good friends with, is it Bella McKenzie now?
The Scozzies. Me, Jade, yeah. Bella, Caitlin and Chance. Scottish.
So the Scozzies?
Yeah, with the group, the Scozzies. The girl band you never knew you needed.
What do you play in the girl band?
Ooh.
What?
Something just came to me. Sugar Babes! But I'm going really off topic.
The Scozzies is a much better band, Sugar Babes. By the way.
At the Crunch.
Yeah.
Mad.
How cool.
Yeah. Crazy.
How good.
Should have got the Scozzies, but...
Yeah, I mean, sorry. I would have booked the Scozzies. Yeah, sorry.
Are you on lead vocals?
Lead vocals, me. I'm actually a bass guitarist.
Does Rona every now and again come in to play the ukulele just as a guest artist?
Is she sad about that? Because she loves Rona and the Wales.
She does. Okay, we don't actually sing or play music. Oh. It's just our collective
theory
name.
Of.
Yeah, because we met at the World Cup. Danny Doolins, and we're all having a few drinks, enjoying the night. And, you know, I'm like, after a few... oh my God, you're going to be at Harlequins, literally making best friends. Me and Caitlin, the other second row, had met for all about 10 seconds and already got a handshake. And I was like, yeah, nice. She's my kind of person. Yeah, and then we just became
the Scozzies. Because you got a handshake?
Yeah, handshake.
How old are you?
Here, there's nothing wrong with a handshake. Amy Cocaine calls us her retrievers because we're literally like retriever puppies. Like, and Amy's this little staffy that like calms us down. But yeah, the Scozzies, like, real good addition. Got BB in. It's cool. Just like different blends of rugby all marrying up.
There was a section that you guys did on your podcast that I'm going to nick now.
Okay.
The Juicy Cues.
Oh, Juicy Cues.
Okay.
Do you know what? Can you remember what they were?
Oh. No.
What's your greatest achievement?
Oh,
playing for your country?
Yeah, okay. First cap for Scotland.
Okay, do you want to go?
Winning the World Cup.
Pretty big one.
Flex.
Yeah, flex.
All right. It's why, in my head, I was like, don't say it. Don't say it. I'm going to get ripped for it. Don't say it.
Which animal would you be? Skaz, you have actually answered this before. Don't look. You're stealing your own answer.
Yeah, no, sorry.
Has it changed?
I don't know if I'd want to be it, but I really like them. A duck.
Oh, why?
I just think they're, I don't know, they just look cool.
There is something quite duck-like.
They just waddle around.
There is something
about land and sea.
Land and sea.
And air. Oh my God, triple threat.
Triple threat.
I'm a duck.
You're a duck. Yeah, fair play. That is... But do they fly? I don't think I've seen a duck fly.
Sorry, what do you mean? Of course they fly.
No, it's a little awkward in the air.
Ducks fly.
You ain't flying quick.
Yeah.
If you do.
Are you winding me up? Ducks fly.
The little quacky white ones.
Mallards.
That's what I'm thinking of.
Oh, yeah. You're thinking of a farm duck.
Well, I mean, you're onto
well,
a farm duck.
A farm gal.
I'm thinking more mallard.
Mm. Oh, you even know the name. Like the ones with the green and brown.
Yeah.
Oh.
I quite like the ones with the adult.
There's
a noise. Crest.
The week right there. Sarah Bonner, if you were an animal.
If I was an animal, oh, like a narwhal. The whale with the tusk.
The whale with the tusk?
Yeah.
Why?
Like a unicorn
whale. I love whales. I just think they're so cool. You're like, you don't really get bothered in the ocean, but you can swim anywhere you like. You're pretty much like the unicorn of the sea.
Very good.
Scottish national animal.
Exactly, but in the sea.
In the sea. And you know that the killer whales in South Africa are chowing the great whites. They've literally basically eradicated the great white population. Random really? Fact, no one needed to know. But they are eating their livers and then they're leaving the rest of the great white in the sea. They don't even care for the rest of the fish.
Crazy.
No one knows why this is happening.
Good fun fact.
Oh, and the scariest things in South Africa still walk around on two legs, but yes. We'll go around to the next question. If you had to switch, what position would you switch to?
Okay, what position would I switch to, Skaz?
She'd switch to a 10. 100%.
Or maybe like a centre.
Okay.
Centre would be quite fun.
Yeah, inside, I can actually see you.
Yeah?
Inside centre, you're 12.
This girl loves kicking the ball. There was I tell you what, if that had been a 50-22, that would have literally gone viral, and it did quite well by itself, and it wasn't quite a 50-22.
Yeah.
When was that?
saris
pre-Christmas.
Yeah, would have. The first thing Amy Cocaine said to me was, if that was a 50-22, your inbox would be flooded with marriage proposals. Honestly, it would have been class. I would have hung up my boots.
Done. Enough said.
I was going to say, signed it off.
This last one's going to be good. Go on.
Wait, what would your position be?
Oh, sorry.
Second row.
No, not in a million years.
You have to say number 10. Actually. 10.
Yeah. I'm quite happy where I am, but I've got to say something else.
That's boring. Come on.
Well, I'm quite happy where I am, but I played the game.
All right, number 8. Number 6.
Oh,
no,
why?
Don't want to do that. Don't want to do that. Change my mind immediately.
Why not 6?
Because they do all of the gross stuff.
Yeah, fair.
Whereas an 8 has a bit of fun, I think.
Yeah. Star sign.
We're both Aquarius. You're an Aquarius. Oh my God, when's your birthday?
The 5th.
Oh my gosh. See, I knew you were a good egg. I knew you were a good egg when I met you.
Based on my star sign alone.
Honestly, don't get her started, I swear to God.
I got way too excited when I found out Skaz was also an Aquarius. We're a day apart. Well, not in age, but like birthdays.
All right.
Are you the 9th?
Completely unnecessary information.
Sorry, this is needed for the context of the story. And I get way too excited. I think every year I send you a birthday message because I get so excited by it. And Skaz is just like...
I'm not as into the star sign stuff.
I don't understand how you can tell what someone's star sign is, because I'm the same star sign as Skaz, as my sister, as is his,
but you're quite
his
different.
Twin, my husband and his twin. We're all Aquarians and we have nothing in common.
Yeah.
Oh, don't be rude.
No, but I mean, personality type-wise... You cringe and I ask rude direct questions. I mean, that's literally our function on the show, if you had to break it down.
But that's the joy of an Aquarian, right?
Exactly.
Is that just something we do?
Must be. Yeah.
Must be.
So Rona's a Libra and she's an air sign as well. So like basically it's like, Gemini's, this is 3 air signs. And basically after World Cup, me and Rona were like, we need to get air sign tattoos.
What would that be? Have you got one?
Me and Rona got an air sign tattoo. The best bit about it, we then met each other a few weeks later in Melbourne. We're walking past a shop and we're like, that shop's got the same logo as our tattoos.
Where did you get your tattoo design?
In Auckland. Oh, the design.
Hasn't Rona just got the arrows?
Yeah, so she's just got that.
Because where was she the other day? In some shop or something. It was like a checkout sign or something. And she was like, videoed like a tattoo and then this checkout sign. I was like, huh.
And the best bit is she's got a sunset on her arm here. And have you ever been in like a London cab and the light sign. Is exactly the same. Rona loves a tattoo like that, honestly. Life's too short.
What is your next tattoo going to be?
Oh, I don't know.
Have you started thinking about it?
No, yet? I probably won't.
Are you open to input and suggestions?
Yes. Yeah. Skaz is going to get was going to get the Aquarius symbol if we won the league, but sadly we didn't. No, you were. We shook on it.
Was she?
Do you also have a handshake? I'm completely star sign blind, so
yeah,
like,
agreed.
Unfortunately, I'm completely lost, and I honestly don't know if I believe any of it.
She's not real Aquarius.
Clearly fake. She's not Aquarius.
Fake Aquarian. Here I am. Now that we have you here on the couch and you are the pundit extraordinary until Collie B's all healed up, round 3, Saturday, April 15th, what will the Aquarian be opting for? Wales v. England at Cardiff Arms Park. Let's get a prediction out of you, Sarah Bonner.
Oh, like a score prediction.
Mm.
England.
Yeah.
64... Is that too big?
No, not at all. I just thought you were going to be like England by. But I like the specificity.
Oh, yeah. 64-12.
Okay. Italy versus Ireland.
Italy.
Where is that game? In Italy.
Parma.
34.
What does your crystal ball say?
12.
Loves a 12. Yeah. Loves a 12.
Consistent. Favourite backline position.
Oh, exactly.
Yeah, it's the common denominator here. And then on Sunday, France, Scotland. Now, this is an interesting one. Didn't you guys draw?
Oh, that was an amazing game.
Unbelievable. France.
Yeah, I got a couple of turnovers that game, actually.
She says like she scored tries.
Yeah. Do you know where that game is?
Van? That place? Venice.
Didn't make it any clearer for me, that's for sure.
Stade de la Rabine. You're the one who came up with a French name for our podcast in Twickenham, and now I have to say it the whole time.
What was that?
Le Crunch avec Branch. The only thing
that wasn't me. I didn't come up with that, did I?
You came up with that. You told producer Shira we should call it Le Crunch avec Branch. Now I have to keep saying that. Like, I know what I'm saying.
You threw me under the bus. Did I do that?
Can't You're remember. Buzzing.
The only French I knew before this was Voulez-vous coucher. What was that line from Lady Marmalade?
Yeah.
That one.
Oui.
Oui. But now my new line is Le Crunch avec Branch. But you must roll there like that.
It's almost got a saffa twang to it as well.
We've got some pretty big news in case you haven't heard the title of our special show.
You better
show.
Translate it for everyone else.
Basically, you are invited to come have brunch with us and you'll get the scars that the BBC gets with makeup.
Oh, no, I might be pre-makeup.
Oh,
I was thinking about that.
Pre-makeup scars.
Might be shabby scars.
Will you be wearing open-toe shoes again?
Probably, yeah.
So we'd like to invite you along. It's called Le Crunch avec Brunch. There will be sausage, egg and bacon baps, bottomless tea and coffee and fizz on arrival.
Here, I might go.
Yeah.
So good.
I mean, we're just down there in the southwest, so come and experience. Pre-game build-up in the most famous rugby pub in the world for the most attended women's game of all time. At the moment, 46,000 tickets sold. That's what we're hearing. Now, Nick Heath told me that he had it from a reliable source that once in that big old stadium, you hit 50. From there, I think the thing just basically sells itself out.
This what is, do you mean?
It literally is apparently, it's the tipping point that people who know... What?
So you sell 50,000 and then 30 just
they say like
fall
it's
over.
A tipping point. He said literally that's when you start the thing just like it starts moving almost on its own because everyone brings a friend and say, "Yeah, we're going to the rugby," and then you just end up selling the place out. I know. That's what I heard.
It's very hard to believe, but I like it.
Crumbs.
I'm sure he said
sell out Twickenham.
I've been saying.
Why are you so worried when I say that?
No, it just in my logical brain just makes zero sense to me that does. But I'm here for it. I'm behind it.
So, good, the Scars and the rugby and the Sugar Babes.
Oh, the Sugar Babes.
And
do you know what I'm sad about? Sorry to butt in. Because I'm going to be doing the TV stuff, we're going to be chatting at halftime.
And
not going to see a thing.
And I'm going to be Fionn Lewis-ing my heart out.
Yeah, I'm sad.
It's going to be so good. So, the good, the Scars and the rugby and the Sugar Babes and the Fizz on arrival. Match made in heaven and you are invited. Tickets on sale tomorrow. Keep an eye on our socials for the details. And come on down. Do you want to come hang? Are you also...
Might be playing.
Of course. Yeah.
But if not, me and Ron will be there just next door of Women Who Sport.
With a little guerrilla marketing.
Very.
She's going to call Stu from the Cabbage Patch and go, "Stu, so can I have the room next door, please? Yeah. Thank you very much."
I am a Harlequins player. Remain loyal.
Remember who your real friends are, Stu. Yeah. She's going to be handing out some of her prized business cards with QR codes on them to get more girls into playing for Scotland.
Bosh.
An agent using her powers for good. Here's to many more beautiful podcasts.
Thank you. And you too.
Here's to recovering ahead of schedule and seeing you back in that beautiful shirt, which honestly is actually... I'm not going to say the most beautiful shirt in the championship because then Scars is going to kick off, but honestly, one of my favourite ones.
It is, let's be honest.
It is a...
I think if Scars could play in blue, she would.
It's a class jersey. She's obsessed with wearing all white. We didn't talk about that. I need to ask you, playing in white shorts. The Welsh girls and the English girls have voted on this. No one knows whether the Irish girls actually had a say. Are you team white shorts or not?
Rowan and I spoke about this morning, actually. I'm team white short. Just because I think it looks quite good. But I fully understand the reasons and the justification behind a move. But yeah, with blue and then blue short, I had to do that the other day with some mismatch kit for the Air Force and it looked awful.
You're like, we can never do this.
But I quite like a white short.
Traditionalists, there we have it. Let women have a say over what they wear wherever possible. We have been The Good, The Scars and The Rugby in partnership with Vodafone. This is a Folding Pocket production produced by Shara Kilgallen. We'll see you again next time.
Are you winding me up? Ducks fly.
You've been listening to The Good, The Scars and The Rugby. A bit like Loose Women, but with less emphasis on working on your pelvic floor.
Width of what, Scars?
Well, so...